and welcome back to another Benchwarmers podcast episode. I'm Sonny Carolla, and I'm here with...
Gabe. I always wonder, should I say my full name or just Gabe?
I don't know. I kind of go back and forth, too. Like, last episode, I remember I said, Sonny, I'm here. I'm Sonny. And then now I'm like, Sonny Carolla. I don't know.
I think you should say your full name, because your full name's on the show.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes
sense. Like, it's in the title of the show, whereas, like, me, it's like... Hey, it's Gabe. What's up? Anyways, we have our part two of our wide receiver rankings to go over this episode. So, Sonny, start us off with number 16.
So, yeah, so we're going to go 16 through 30. Last episode, you should check it out. We did news and we did 1 through 15. We're reviewing Draft Wizards and we're just like reviewing their list and talking about players. And we also did that with running backs, and stay tuned for quarterbacks and tight ends. So number 16, Cooper Kupp. He's pretty good. He's on the Rams. He had a weird season last year because I remember he started off like the first couple of games, maybe first like seven games. He did really well, including like a 220-yard game with like a touchdown. He did very well, and then after the bye week, he kind of just slowed down. They didn't use him the same way. It was really weird because he was really good. But regardless, he had 10 touchdowns, 1,161 yards, and 94 receptions. Now, obviously, Brandon Cooks is gone. I don't think that's going to factor in too much with him. I think he can repeat the same stat line. I hope it's more – I mean, it was a very good stat line, 10 touchdowns, and, you know, it's very good. But I hope he does it with more consistency.
You know? Yeah. I mean he's kind of been like their most reliable wide receiver the past four seasons, maybe?
3 years, I think.
Yeah, for sure 3 seasons. So he, you know, when he's healthy, he's putting up really, really good numbers. I don't know, like the other guy with him is Robert Woods, who usually doesn't steal too many targets away. They both kind of get their targets and their touchdowns. So I think if you can get either one of these guys on your team, you're going to be set. But I don't know, like Cooper Kupp, he does get more. He definitely does get more work than Woods. I would say like maybe 15-20% more work than Woods. I don't know if it's because Goff trusts him or likes him more, or I don't know what it is, but he definitely gets a little bit more of the catches on that team. I've had Cooper Kupp in leagues. I liked having him when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't think losing Gurley or losing Cooks hurts him. If anything, I don't know. Like, how do you? You're a Rams homer. Like, how do you think that? Does that factor in, like, losing – because that's two pieces of the offense. Like, I know it doesn't really tie into his position other than Brandon Cooks, but does, like, losing Todd Gurley from the team, does that change the team a little bit? Like, how do you feel as a Rams?
I mean, I guess it helps because it adds – I mean, Brandon Cooks had, what, 42 receptions, and I'll check Gurley in a second. So that's 42 receptions and – Uh, 31 receptions. So that's 73 receptions are opening up. And, of course, it's not all going to Cooper Kupp. A little bit might go to Cam Akers or whatever running back they're having. Or a little bit more to Tyler Higbee, their tight end, Gerald Everett. But I like the red zone, you know, the red zone chemistry between Goff and Kupp is very good. Kupp is an elite red zone target, I think, and Goff really likes to pass to him. And I like how they're running a two tight end set, which means they're going to have Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee inside because they need a better offensive line, so they're bringing another tight end in to block, which means Robert Woods and Kupp are going to be on the outside, which I like because even though it's probably going to mean that he's running more deep routes, and he's still going to run inside a little bit, like he's still going to do his slants and his quick routes, even from the outside. It means that he's going to probably get more deep ball throws and stuff, like more deep deep targets, and that's a big up for me with him and Robert Woods.
Yeah. So just kind of peeking ahead, so Woods is 18 on this list. I think more than ever now, just because they're both getting a lot of work, if I can't get Cup on my team, Woods is not a bad like second place prize, because in the weeks where Cup was injured or he did miss time, Woods like took over. So if that does happen again, which I don't think it will, I mean, hopefully he doesn't, knock on wood. You know, it
knock on Woods.
Woods, yeah. Oh, there you go. you know, if that does happen, you have Woods who is gonna pretty much eat and take over all the targets. But you know, even if Cooper Kupp's healthy, Kupp and Woods both see a lot of targets, even with their good tight end. So I think you can't really. I lean to Kupp a little bit more, but you can't go wrong with Woods either.
Yeah. All right. So you brought up that they're only a spot, pretty much a spot away from each other. And this is kind of unrelated, but we noticed this off the air, where a lot of receivers that are on the same team are only like one spot away from each other. So it's like there, it's like that with Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. It's like that with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. It's also like that with AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, with there's someone at Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks. Like we saw it, someone Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard. That's like six times.
Yeah. So I think the reason that's come up is because people can't really predict who's going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. I think the most recent case that I can remember that this has kind of happened. So Mike Evans, I think two seasons ago, he was definitely the wide receiver one on the team. Mm-hmm. And Chris Godwin was kind of coming along. He wasn't taking over. And it was pretty much the Mike Evans show. And then last season, we saw Chris Godwin overtake Mike Evans in targets and touchdowns. And pretty much is now the wide receiver one on the team. And now this season, we don't really know how they're going to pan out with a new quarterback. So I think it's kind of up in the air. And I think we see this so much is because people don't know where to put him. Like, we don't know who the guy is going to be this year. It could be Godwin. It could be Evans. It could be Kupp. It could be Woods. Like, we don't really know. I think in some situations you can tell a little bit better, but they're ranked this way because it's almost like a coin flip. Like, you can – one might hit, the other one might not. They could both just be split. It's usually not. Usually one of the wide receivers gets a little bit more work. It's kind of like your job to research, and then ultimately at the end of the day, you kind of just have to go with your gut instinct and whoever you like better. Because
yeah,
some of these guys are ranked so close that it's almost impossible to make a decision on them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we got Kupp and Woods, the 16 and 18 on this list, and sandwiched right in between is Calvin Ridley.
I like Calvin Ridley.
I love him too.
I think a lot of people are realizing this could be, I mean, I guess he kind of broke out last year, but this could be his breakout year. Because there are a lot of targets leaving the Falcons. It's like Mohamed Sanu, Hayden Hurst, Devontae Freeman is like leaving behind so many targets. It's like the most, it was a stat like most opened up targets in the league. A lot. I mean, and more than the Cowboys too. So it's got to be more than like 150 or something. Now, obviously, or not Hayden Hurst leaving. I'm sorry, Austin Hooper leaving. Hayden Hurst is coming in to replace him. And Gurley's coming to replace Freeman. But they're not going to take up all of those targets. They're going to take up some. And I think it's most of it, or a good chunk of it, could go to Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. But I think mostly Calvin Ridley. Because last year, he had 63 receptions. Now, I think it's very possible he gets to somewhere like 80. And for me, it's reasonable for him to get to 8 touchdowns, maybe like 1,000 yards and 80 receptions.
I think
that's a very reasonable stat line.
I can easily see him doing that. So, yeah, I didn't even think about that. So, yeah, he should see an uptick in targets and just more work going his way.
Mm-hmm.
These three, so 16, 17, and 18, Cooper Kupp, Calvin Ridley, and Robert Woods, I think I like Cooper Kupp the best out of these three, but I would not be upset if I got Ridley or Woods on my team instead of Kupp. Like, I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So, the only drawback I can possibly see with Calvin Ridley is, like, Matt Ryan's his quarterback, who I am not a huge fan of, but, I mean, he does have Julio Jones on the team. I think teams are just going to focus on double coverage Julio. And so Ridley's just going to be the open guy.
Yeah.
That's good. I think for most teams, you need that like A and B.
Mm-hmm.
And some teams just don't have it and they're going to get double teamed. The Falcons, they're a weird team, but they do have it. They got Julio Jones. He's their A. And Calvin Ridley is easily their B. So, you know, if the A is covered, the B is going to be open and he's going to get the touchdowns and yards. So, I like him a lot. I don't know if I would move him up. I think I would just leave him right there, kind of sandwiched in between two Rams.
I think that makes sense. I mean, I like him maybe a little bit better than 17, but I would still put him between, like right under Cooper Kupp, just because there's players that I would move down a little bit. But, yeah, maybe instead of like 17, maybe like 15 or 14 or something like that.
Yeah, I could see him up a little bit. Next on the list, number 19, we have Courtland Sutton on the Broncos.
Yeah, so we're skipping Robert Woods. We kind of already talked about him.
So Sutton, I like him. Mm-hmm.
You had him last year, right?
I did. He didn't do too much for me, but he did okay. I think he's going to do better this season. The only thing that scares me is he's on the Broncos, who are not that great. And their quarterback situation frightens me just because they haven't been able to figure out their quarterback situation in years. And I am not very confident with Drew Lock. But somebody has to catch it. I don't see why it can't be him. I think he's the main guy now, right? It's just he's like the wide receiver one.
It's Courtland Sutton. They just got Jerry Jeudy, which concerns me a lot. And I think Noah Fant is going to start doing better, their tight end, which is – it kind of makes me nervous because I still think he's going to get maybe the same amount of volume, 71, 72 receptions. I don't know. I think his stat line – I think he's going to get more receptions, but, like, less touchdowns. I don't know. It feels like – because they brought in so many weapons. They got Jerry Jeudy. They got, like, C.J. Hamilton or Hamler or something, which I don't think is going to be a big problem. But they also got Melvin Gordon. And they were already very run-heavy, and I think they might run it more now. Just because, like – you know, of Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. So in 2019, last season, he had 6 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he will have more or less than 6 touchdowns this year?
I think it might stay the same, or maybe he gets, maybe it goes down one, maybe like 5.
And he had over 1,000 yards. I think you're right. His yards might go up. I don't know if he's going to have more than 6, maybe 7, but I don't think he's going to have a huge jump just because I think the Broncos, for the most part, they like running the ball. Uh-huh. And even if they're down, they still run it a lot. And I just feel like they have Melvin Gordon. They have Philip Lindsay. And who's the other guy they have?
Royce Freeman.
So I don't know. That's a lot of mouths to feed in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to think of this team. I guess he is the best wide receiver. He is the best wide receiver to go with on this team, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not very thrilled about the Broncos.
I mean, I like him, but I'd rather you know, you would be in so much better of a situation to get Calvin Ridley, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, even like Tyler Lockett or something like that. You know.
Yeah, it's
so, yeah.
It's a little tough with him, but you could argue that because he is the, you know, the only good wide receiver on the team, that he's going to get all the looks, but more often than not, these guys get double covered. So I think he's a stay away for me. I don't know. I don't like the quarterback situation. I'm not a big fan of this team. So I think he's a stay away, but yeah. I'll tell you who's not a stay away. Number 20.
Keenan Allen.
Who I'm a little surprised he's 20.
I think this is where he should be going. I don't know. I like kind of other players behind him a little bit better.
Okay. I think he should be ahead of Cortland Sutton, but
me too. I mean, I think he should be in front of like Cortland Sutton, but not Calvin Ridley or Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods.
No. Yeah. I guess he's kind of in that. Yeah. He falls in that range. So Keenan Allen, I think the reason he is number 20 is because, or the reason he's behind Cortland Sutton is because now they have – so Rivers is gone. He's on the Colts. Mm-hmm. And Rivers like to throw it to him a lot. Now that Rivers is gone, I think people are expecting Keenan Allen's targets and touchdowns to go down a little bit. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. How many receptions? He had 104? I don't think so. I think maybe like 90, like 95. So it might go down a little bit. He had – oh, my God. He was 1 yard away from 2,000 yards.
I type in Keenan
Allen. Sorry, not 2,000 yards. I'm sorry. He was 1 yard away from 1,200 yards. 2,000 would have been crazy.
Six touchdowns. So I Googled Keenan Allen, and, like, you know how Google does, like, Google does, like, auto-predict? What you're going to type in. It says Keenan Allen or Cortland Sutton.
Oh, my. So
people are searching for that right now.
Google is listening in.
Yeah.
Google is a fan of our show.
Google listens and rates our show 5 stars. Thank you, Google.
It's weird. No, but, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to come up with, like, a conspiracy theory or something. But, like, it's weird because, like, I'll text, you know, I'll get a text like, hey, like, you, I don't know, like, a friend will text me, hey, you want to go to the beach? And then, like, I'll be like, yeah, sure. And then a couple of days later, I'll be on Google, and it'll be, like, an ad. It'll be like, beach balls for all the fun in the sun. You know, stock up on sunscreen. Summer's just around the corner. It's like,
Did you search for beach on your phone, or you just, like, talked about it?
I think I don't know. I just talked it's just, like, that's just an example. But, like, people, I don't know. I know people that are, like, Google's listening in. And they're advertising things that we talk about. And I'm like, I don't know. It's interesting. I think they just take your like past search history, and it's like, I don't know, if you Google like tickets to Chicago in the past or something, it'll like recommend it or something. I don't know.
So I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but I do agree with you. And, like, there has been times when I'll be talking about something, and I won't. I know for a fact I will not search for it on my phone. I'll just talk about it, or I'll text about it. And later that day or the next day, I'll see ads on social media for whatever I was talking about.
Yeah, it happens to me a lot, and I don't know what to think of it.
A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Islands, the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it for like 5 minutes with somebody, and the next day I was scrolling through Instagram. There was a promoted ad for Islands, and I was like, "What the heck?" Like, I was literally just talking about this.
That's so. Wait, how do we start talking about conspiracy theories from Keenan Allen?
So we were talking about how I researched Keenan Allen, and then it said or
Cortland Sutton.
So yeah. Anyways, your phones and your laptops are listening to you. So careful.
But watch out.
So yeah, Keenan Allen. I think I'm in the boat where he is going to come down a little bit. Just because it's a new quarterback, still pretty much the same offense. It's just a quarterback change, and I think that does give him a slight, like, I don't know. He goes down a couple steps for me than what he was like last year or the year before. So
yeah,
I think I like him in 20. He could go like 21 or 22 just because I think the guys, the two guys below him, I think could easily be the number 20.
I think so too. I mean, it's weird with Keenan Allen. I mean, the whole quarterback change and Melvin Gordon leaving is, it puts a lot of question marks around him, and that kind of worries me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So number 21, we got Devontae Parker, who is kind of interesting for me because now they got Tua. Fitzpatrick is still there, but Tua is in the mix now. And I was saying this a little earlier in a previous episode, but I don't think Tua being on the Dolphins gives anyone a boost right now because he still has to learn the offense and he still has to like figure things out. But if they do keep Devontae Parker long-term, I think that is a boost for him. So if somehow Tua does make it on the field this year, maybe Fitzpatrick gets hurt and they just have to rush Tua onto the field, I think the first couple games, you might not see a boost, but eventually, because Tua can scramble so much, I think it's going to help out, you know, Devontae Parker. But I don't think it's going to be a boost right now. So it's kind of like a wait and see.
Yeah.
I think you kind of just have to imagine that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the guy for a little bit. And, you know, he can still play. He throws picks, but he does throw touchdowns too. So I don't know. Like, I'm not very excited about Devontae Parker, but he is playing with the same quarterback that he did last year. So I guess that is a plus over Keenan Allen.
Yeah. I mean, I just checked his stat line. It's really weird. So in 2017, he had 670 yards and one touchdown. 2019, he had one touchdown, 309 yards. Last year, he had 1,202 yards and nine touchdowns. So we went from one touchdown to eight touchdowns. He went up eight touchdowns. I don't think he's going to get nine touchdowns and 1,200 yards again because I think he's kind of injury prone. And everybody kind of gets excited about him and he shows flashes and everybody's like, ooh, see, he's really good for like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks at a time. And then he kind of dips back down. He's kind of inconsistent, I think. And that is kind of risky. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of him.
I think you're right. He's not. I don't think he's going to repeat last year, or maybe he will. Because so what happened on the Dolphins last year? The Dolphins were trading away. They tanked. They traded away all their pieces, like Drake, and I think it was, I forgot what offensive line. They were just trading away all their pieces for
weird.
Draft picks.
Because they trade away all their offensive players, but they have like two top five corners. Like they have two top five corners. They have like Xavier Howard and like someone else, and they're both really good. And I'm sure if you wanted to package them, I'm sure a team would give you a lot for two. I mean, that's a very good. Those two players could make any defense really good.
The thing is, I don't think they want to trade them. I think they want to keep them. They're part of their like rebuild process that they're doing with Tua. I don't know. Like it's Devontae Parker is a weird player. He's either gonna I want to say either repeat. I don't think he can do better than what he did last year. I don't think he can top that.
No.
So I think he is either going to do almost what he did last year or he's going to do significantly worse. Who are the Dolphins wide receivers? Let's take a look.
They have Preston Williams, who was on target. He's on pace for like 150 targets, but he got injured, which is kind of crazy.
I don't think they have him anymore.
Preston Williams?
Is he still? Oh, yeah, he still is. Sorry.
Yeah, he's still there.
They got Albert Wilson.
Oh.
Kirk Merritt. I've not heard of him. Oh, wait. Who's the tight end that they had?
Mike Gesicki or something like that.
Yeah, he was actually
he's kind of mediocre.
He was okay. I think he had a couple like decent games last season, but it's, I don't know, like this Dolphins team is a little weird. I think this is like one of those teams where you have to wait for this season to play out. Like I wouldn't, if you're struggling to pick between Keenan Allen and Devontae Parker, I would say maybe go Keenan Allen just because you know kind of what to expect. Whereas Devontae Parker, if he doesn't do what he did last season, you're going to feel really bad.
Yeah.
Like you're going to regret picking him up. Like,
yeah.
Especially when you see who the number 22 guy is on this list, you're going to wish you got him.
I like number 22, Tyler Lockett. You know, he's pretty consistent. I mean, he's been with Russell Wilson for a while, it feels like. Let's see, last year, 8 touchdowns, 1,000 yards, 82 receptions. And then the year before, he had only 57 receptions, but he had 10 touchdowns. Like, he gets a lot of touchdowns. And I think it's in the realm of possibility that he gets 8 or 9 touchdowns this year with, like 1,100 yards or something like that on 90 receptions, if he improves or something. This is a very run-heavy team. He's got DK Metcalf lined up on the other side of him, which is kind of one of the best kind of A and B receiver, like best like one-two punch kind of in the league, because they're plus Chris Carson and Russell Wilson. Like, this is such a good offense. And they score so much that regardless, even if they run that, even if they run most of the time, it's still such high volume. Like, it's like one of those teams you want any part of.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, I don't know. Like, I think so on this list, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are the 22 and 24. Mm-hmm. They're ranked very closely. We were talking about this, and I don't know, like, DK Metcalf really showed up last season. I still think Tyler Lockett is going to do very well. I can easily see him getting over 1,000 yards. And he had 8 touchdowns last year. I can see him getting – I'm gonna be bold and say that he can get 9 or 10 this year. So I think he can do what he did last season and some.
I think that's very in the realm of possibility. Very much – in the realm of possibility. I agree with you there. I really like him. And next one. And also, these next three players are players that I think are really going to – or have a very high chance of breaking out. So the first one we're going to talk about, DJ Chark, who is not a lot of people know, but this is like his fourth year or something. He's on the Jags. You know, last year – the year before he had 0 touchdowns, 174 yards, 14 receptions. Two years ago he had 0 touchdowns. Last year he had 8 touchdowns, just over 1,000 yards, 73 receptions. That's pretty good. I don't think he gets 8 touchdowns again, though. I think he still gets around, like, maybe almost 80 receptions, maybe like 75-ish. Receptions, and I think he can maybe pushing it might be like 1,100, but maybe just like mid 1,000s kind of.
So in 2018, DJ Chark had 174 yards for 0 touchdowns. He last season, 2019, he went up to 1,008 yards, 8 touchdowns. So he just, like,
crazy.
He blew up last year. Who is the quarterback for the Jags this year?
I think it's, like, Gardner Minshew. The Jags are weird. I mean, aside from DJ Chark, I don't think I want anybody on the Jaguars. I don't want Leonard Fournette or their quarterback. I don't want their defense or their kicker or whatever. I don't want Chris Thompson or – Rakewell, Armstead. There's just such a funky team, and they're really bad too.
Yeah, it's we were talking about this in the last couple episodes that the Jags for us are kind of just a team you avoid.
Yeah.
Other than DJ Shark, they have D.D. Westbrook, who did not have a great season last year.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple other wide receivers that I don't even recognize. And, you know, it's I think it's just going to be one of those teams where he might be the only piece that you want. And
I think he is. I think that is that team.
That sucks.
Yeah.
All right, let's move along to
next one is DK Metcalf. So he's another receiver on the Seahawks. He's a second year player. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's very fast, and if you haven't seen him, he's absolutely ripped. Like
DK Metcalf? Is this going to be another one of, like, James Conner?
He is. Back? No, like, look at a picture. I don't know if his, like, back is huge, but, like, look at it. He is ripped.
I'm going to get ads targeted for, like, I don't know, like, protein steroids, drinks and steroids. Oh, my God, he's huge.
I know. He's, like, but he's so fast. He's, like, in the 95th percentile speed.
How is he that fast for that big of a guy?
I don't know. DK might stand for Donkey Kong. Like, he is ripped.
Yeah, he is. He has like an 8-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy is. He's ripped. Wait, how old is he?
He's like 23, maybe, or something. Oh, man. I don't know. He's a second year player.
Yeah, he's 22. Dang, he's 22. Young.
Yeah, so he. As a rookie, I don't know if he stayed the same. I'd imagine he's the same. He's just under 6'4". He's like 6'3" and like 3/4".
He might still be growing. Jeez.
Yeah. So he's basically 6'4". I don't know if he stayed the same weight. He's around 230 pounds. I'd say he's probably the same, like give or take a couple of pounds. And he's only 1.6 body fat.
Which, wait, was last year his first year with the Seahawks?
He was a rookie last year.
Oh, my God. Dude, he's going to be – he should be higher on this list.
I know, right? He's such a breakout candidate. He's so good.
So, 900 yards and 7 touchdowns.
900 yards flat. Very impressive.
And that is like – that is crazy numbers for a rookie.
Yeah, and 58 receptions. I mean – there's another second-year player right behind him that I also really like, and I think if you can get DK Metcalf and the next guy behind him, Terry McLaurin, on both on your same team, like if you have like back-to-back picks or something, and you already have like a couple of other players on your team, your receiver are going to be stacked because I think they can both break out and be really good. But I don't know, like 58 receptions. Like, 900 yards on 58 receptions is pretty good. With 7 touchdowns on 58 receptions is also very good. I think maybe he can get, like, 65, 70 receptions. Maybe just under 1,000 yards. But it's in the possibility, or realm of possibility. I think he stays the same with touchdowns, maybe 7, maybe goes up to 8. Which is still a very good season. Like, I think like 8 touchdowns, like 990 yards, like just under 1,000, and like 70, 75 receptions.
That's really good. I'm going to be even bigger. I'm going to say that he goes for just right around 1,000 yards. Yeah. I feel like he can break it. Because
I think he can break it too.
He was only 100 yards short. So, like, if he would have had maybe one or two slightly better games, he probably could have broke that.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I mean, if I'm projecting him to have like 12, 13 more receptions, he's definitely getting 1,000.
Like, oh man, like he is. I want him in my teams this year. Like, he is really good. I like him. I don't want to say I like him better than Tyler Lockett, but he is like...
They're both, in my opinion, they're right next to each other.
I like him better than Devontae Parker. So like if you if you're about to draft and you have Keenan Allen, Devontae Parker, let's just say somebody grabbed Tyler Lockett ahead of you. You got okay, so Keenan
Allen. So it's like between like Cortland Sutton, Keenan Allen, Devontae Parker, like DK Metcalf.
I would reach for DK because
yeah, I probably would too.
The like those are very good numbers for his first year, and that was his first year. Like in the pros, like he's going to be better than what he was. Yeah. He's going to be used to this offense. He's going to be used to Russell Wilson, and he's going to blow up. So
yeah, if you I would say
if you can grab him in your league, try to grab him in as many leagues as you can. Like,
yeah,
he is going to be like a monster this year.
Our next guy has a very almost identical stat line to him. Terry McLaurin. He's the main guy on the Redskins. He's 6'2", and he's a very fast, big guy. I mean, he's not ripped like DK Metcalf, but he's pretty tall and fast. He had 7 touchdowns, 919 yards, and 58 receptions. So I think the same amount of receptions and the same amount of touchdowns. Yeah, but he had 19 more yards. Now, obviously, what makes him a little bit lower is that he's on a kind of a crappy team. I mean, he's on the Redskins that are pretty bad, but Dwayne Haskins was like in the top 10% passing rating, like 10th for passer ratings when he passed to Terry McLaurin. Pretty good.
Yeah,
and I think he can maybe almost get 1,000. I think he's going to get the same thing as DK Metcalf. Maybe like 8 touchdowns, like 1,000 yards, and like maybe like 70 receptions or something. Because he's the kind of guy that doesn't need a lot of receptions to like get a lot of yards. And I think he's going to improve a lot.
So I believe DK Metcalf had 100 targets last season and 58 catches. Terry had 93. He had 7 less targets, but he still had the same 58 receptions. And his stat line is very close to DK's. But I will say this. In each of their second years, I think because the better quarterback is on the Seahawks and is with DK Metcalf, I think DK Metcalf is going to have the better second year than Terry. So Terry and DK both will do better this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think DK will beat him out just by a little bit.
Yeah, I do think that they're both two targets on my team, two players that I want, and they're both guys you might not really need to reach for just because they're second-year players and people might be hesitant. Anyway, 26, kind of a veteran, even though we're kind of going over, like, younger players, veteran. And not a lot of people know this, but his first name, T.Y., is Eugene Hilton.
Why did they call him T.Y. then?
I don't know, but I looked it up, and his real name is Eugene.
Eugene. Which kind of,
I don't know. Eugene is just a funny name to me. I don't know why. So
Do you know any Eugenes?
No, I don't.
I feel like it's an older name that got used a lot, and then now nobody really names their kids Eugene. I don't know. I don't know anyone named Eugene. In elementary, middle school, high school, and college, I never met a Eugene.
There's probably a Eugene that goes to my school, but I don't know him. Like, we did our graduation ceremony thing, and we had to put, like, all the names of, like, people, and they go through the slides, an inspirational quote, and I was like, these people are in our grades? I've never seen, like, any of them. It's so weird. I think my grade is just so big. Like, I don't even know half of the people.
I looked up the name Eugene. And it says, Eugene is a common masculine given name that comes from the Greek word noble or literally well-born. So it means like nobility, I guess.
Eugene doesn't strike me as a masculine, noble guy. It sounds like the kid that plays D&D at lunch.
Yeah, Eugene sounds like the nerdy kid.
That's why I thought it was like funny. But anyway, T.Y. Hilton, Eugene Hilton. I think did he get injured last year, or did he just not play super well?
I believe he got – he did get hurt, didn't he?
He did, because I don't think – he got 5 touchdowns, which is good. But, like, I think he would have had more than 500 yards on 45 receptions. I don't know, because the year before he had 76 receptions for 1,270 yards with 6 touchdowns.
One sec. I can't pull him. See, where is his stats?
But he's going to improve with Philip Rivers. You know, Philip Rivers is an improvement over Jacoby Brissett. I think this team does a lot better. I mean, they added 2 good rookies. They got Michael Pittman Jr., who's a receiver, and I think he's going to be using the red zone a lot because he's a larger guy. And they added, probably, in my opinion, the best talent in the rookie draft class, Jonathan Taylor, my second favorite rookie in the whole for fantasy. I think he's more athletic than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, he's more talented. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just on a better team. Mm-hmm. But they just have a lot of improvements with Philip Rivers and rookies, and they're kind of rebuilding their team. And T.Y. Hilton's kind of someone that's been there for a while, and I think he's going to click well with Philip Rivers. I think he's going to do pretty good.
He might be the new Keenan Allen.
Maybe. I think
he could be Keenan Allen 2.0.
Yeah, I think he can get a lot of yards, but not a lot. He doesn't really, like, strike me as, like, a guy that's going to, like, take it to the house, but I think he's going to get a lot of yards. So, I mean, just the year before, he got 1,200 yards, so I think he can get, like, 1,200 yards and, like, 6 touchdowns on, like, 75 receptions or something.
Yeah, I think he's definitely due for a bounce-back year, and I think he can do it with good old Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I think that's good. So, 27, Stephon Diggs.
This is an interesting one.
This is an interesting one.
His quarterback, Josh Allen now, likes to scramble, likes to run around. I think this helps Stephon Diggs a little bit because he is the deep guy. And I'm trying to see, like, Josh Allen, he will throw it downfield a little bit, but Josh Allen is a little inaccurate. That is the one downside with him. He does overthrow his guys sometimes.
I mean, with Stephon Diggs, I don't know if I'm going to take him this year because I do think he's a talented guy, and I think he might mesh well with, like, Josh Allen. But I don't know. Like I said, like, receivers in their first year don't tend to do super well most of the time. Like, and that seems to go for guys like Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham. So I don't know why it wouldn't go with, like, Stephon Diggs. And he also kind of misses, like, 4, 3, 4, maybe 5 games a year, which a lot of times is probably frustrating. But you are getting him kind of late, which is kind of, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's a good fit for the team, but there's too many question marks around him, and that kind of makes me want to avoid him.
And he's also not the only good wide receiver on the team. They still have John Brown.
Oh, yeah, they got John Brown.
So, in my opinion, John Brown is still kind of the wide receiver one. I know Stephon Diggs is a big name.
Yeah.
And I think people are taking him this high because he is a big name.
Yeah. So, I think John, like you said, John Brown's probably the one just because of better chemistry, but maybe in a year or two, Diggs is going to take over.
Maybe. So, I don't know. John Brown last year was the long ball kind of guy, and he did get a lot of long touchdowns. So, I don't think that's going to stop happening. I'm just trying to see how Stephon Diggs is going to fit into this offense now. Like, I guess that's going to help him because now they have to cover Stephon Diggs, who is also a speedy deep ball guy. So,
yeah. This
is, I don't know, this is really weird. I think, if anything, so spoiler, John Brown is not in our top 30. He's 39, but I would bump him up a little bit, and I think I'm going to add him to my honorable mention just because He should be higher than 39, I think, because this is – how many years has he been on the Bills now?
While now, I feel like.
It's been a couple – okay, so he joined – he was on the Ravens in 2018, and then he was on the Bills last year. He had 72 receptions, 1,060 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So I think I'm going to say, because this will be his second year on the Bills, I'm going to give him like a slight boost. I'm going to say he goes like, I don't know, 8 touchdowns. Sorry, that was a huge tangent. But for Diggs, I don't know. He's like a huge like question mark for me.
Yeah.
You know what? I almost don't want to take the risk with him and be wrong. Like, I would rather take the risk on somebody else.
Yeah. Speaking of risk and weird kind of players, AJ Green is probably as weird as it gets. He missed all of 2019.
And some of 2018, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he missed like half of 2018, all of 2019. He's got a new quarterback. Another receiver was kind of added then. T. Higgins, I don't think he's going to be a big deal, though. I don't know. It's weird with him because I guess you like the upside because he's shown he can be like a top five receiver. But also, he hasn't played in a year and a half because of injuries and stuff. But I guess he is rested, but he's old. It's just, but the Bengals aren't good. Like, it's so weird with him.
There,
I don't know.
There are too many, like, negatives for me to, like, draft him. So,
I agree with that.
He hasn't played in a long time. They always talk about this, like, when you watch football, like, oh, this player's rusty. But that is a real thing. If you haven't played in a real game that matters and you just jump back in and play, you're going to be rusty. Like that, yeah. That just happens in any sport. Like if you take time off and you come back, that first game back or those first few games back, you're not like the player that you were. So I think he still has to shake off rust. And then he is an older player now, so he might not be as fast after his injury.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it is a new quarterback and the offense is like building from the ground up and they were really bad last year. So I think that's like too many negatives. Like I would pass on AJ Green and I wouldn't feel bad.
I'd agree with you on that.
I would move him down. I wouldn't have him as 28.
I don't think I'd have him in the top 30. I mean,
no, I would put him like close to 40.
Yeah. I have a lot of guys, like, especially my honorable mentions, that, like, I just like better than him.
I like the other wide receiver on the team, Boyd, who is
Boyd
number 30 on this team. And we were talking about this earlier, another wide receiver who is like ranked almost the same as his counterpart.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just jump into Boyd and just skip Landry, or we'll go back to Landry.
We'll go back to Landry, yeah. So
he's 29. So Tyler Boyd is on the opposite field with AJ Green. Now that I think about it, the Bengals kind of have a lot of really good receivers. I mean, they got T. Higgins, he's a rookie. They got Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, and then they have the fastest guy in the league. If you don't agree with me, then go look at the 40-yard dash time. He beat Tyreek Hill, John Ross. He sucks, but he's extremely fast. Anyway, last year he had 5 touchdowns on 1,046 receiving yards and 90 receptions.
So he had some work.
Yeah, I think it just stays the same. I don't think it goes up or down. I think it kind of stays in the same kind of place.
So the other wide receiver in this that we were talking about, what's his name? John Ross, who's very fast. Last season he had 506 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he did have a few touchdowns last year. I think someone's numbers are going to go down. If AJ Green does play, which all signs point to that he is going to play this year, somebody's numbers have to go down. So I think it's going to be him and Tyler Boyd. AJ Green and Tyler Boyd, they're going to be the guys that are just the main guys. And then there's like other random wide receivers like Auden Tate, who got a couple good games last year. So I don't know what the Bengals were doing. I guess they're just trying to like fill this void that AJ Green left behind. But now that he's back, I don't know. He's one of these players where, like, I have to see him do good in order to believe it. But at that time, somebody will already own him. So I don't know. He's too risky for me, and I kind of lump him in the same group as like players that do a holdout or don't play for a long time, that they're just bad news. Like it doesn't really work out well when they do come back. So I don't know. He's kind of an avoid. I would say I would rather go for Tyler Boyd than AJ Green.
Yeah.
He's younger, right, not injured, and yeah. So sorry, we skipped over Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry.
Number 29.
So he's on Cleveland. Wait, recent news. Oh, I thought it said a hip injury. So last year he had 6 touchdowns. Wow, he had 9 touchdowns 2017. All right, 6 touchdowns, 1,174 yards, and 83 receptions. I think that goes down. It's good.
Why is that?
Because I think Odell Beckham has a bounce back year. Plus, Austin Hooper's coming in, and Kareem Hunt's going to be there for the whole season.
I hope you're right. I hope Odell Beckham does have a bounce back year so I can do all the drops of you.
Yeah. there's like 4. That was probably the best. That was probably the best episode because we got like 4 or 5 drops from that. Just me going on a rant about Odell. Oh my goodness.
I hope you're right. I hope Odell does have a bounce back year. But yeah, that could hurt Jarvis Landry. And you know what? I think we spoke about it earlier. Austin Hooper is now on the team, so it's another mouth to feed on this already like widely talented team. So that's not good. I think Jarvis will still get some touchdowns, but I don't know if he's going to do better than what he did last year.
Yeah. I think he goes down a little bit.
So that rounds out the top 30 wide receivers on our list. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to move into a couple wide receivers, on our list that we're not in the top 30, but you should definitely take a look at. And if you're struggling with, you know, these last 5 wide receivers that we have, Eugene, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Green, Jarvis Landry, and Tyler Boyd, I could easily see some of these honorable mentions being picked over them just because T.Y. has a new quarterback. We don't know how well he's going to do. He could do really well. We both predict he will do well. Stephon Diggs is a big question mark. A.J. Green is an even bigger question mark. Jarvis Landry, we both think will go down. And then Tyler Boyd, he's going to be somewhere in the mix on this new Bengals team. So those are all kind of iffy players. And some people don't like drafting iffy players. If you don't want to draft an iffy player, I would say go with somebody who you know is the guy, and other players have left and he's still there and he now has a new weapon who we think he's going to be good. So I'm talking about Julian Edelman. He has Cam Newton now. He is ranked 31 on our list, and I think he could be a little bit higher than that. I'm not sure if this list really reflects how big of a upgrade that Julian had. Julian was going to play with a rookie quarterback. Now that he has Cam Newton on his team, even if Cam isn't 100% of what he was in the past, even if he's like 70% of what he was, I still think that's a better version of what Julian would have had to play with. So I think this is a huge upgrade for Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people are worried about taking him. Like, oh, Tom Brady's gone. I don't want to take Julian because he's not going to be the same player without Tom Brady. You know, but I think you can feel very confident. Like, it's still the same head coach. It's still the same system. The only thing that got moved out was Tom Brady, and they added in a taller quarterback, Cam Newton. So I see this as, like, an improvement.
Okay. So I think I agree with that. I mean, my first honorable mention is Marquise Brown. I like him because, as you said earlier, or you said 2 different things. Well, A, you kind of want, like, any like top receiver on any team is like really good, even though he's not the top target because of Mark Andrews, still the top receiver. Plus, you want any piece of these super good teams, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the you know, the Niners, like any of these teams, you want a part of, and especially their wide receiver one being Marquise Brown. And I think if he stays uninjured, and I think he will, because I read up about this thing, something in his foot, like he had a foot injury or something, and they had like this piece of like metal in the bottom of his foot, like held something together. So like, oh, it's something you can always like feel. So it feels weird when you run. So like, I think you'll be faster unless like it makes you more injury prone, I think, but it like helps. I don't know. Something weird. And he got it removed. So like, I think he'll be like faster and maybe he'll stay uninjured. And if he can do that, I think he has, you know, top 20 upside, maybe, if he does.
He had a lot of good games so last season. So he got the nickname Hollywood Brown, Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
And he up until he got his injury, he did really well. So yeah. He's a good choice. I definitely can see him higher on this list if he does stay healthy. My second honorable mention that I'm going to – I talked about him a little bit earlier, but John Brown, this is his second year on the Bills. He's a lot more comfortable with the offense. I know everyone's scared that Stephon Diggs is going to be the guy and take his targets, but I am still very confident on John Brown, and I think that Diggs is going to have to figure out his spot and figure out his position in this new team. So for that reason, John Brown is the more experienced player on this team, and he's more comfortable here. He has a chemistry going. I think he's going to do better than what he did last year.
All right. I think like Stephon Diggs like improves him a little bit because like it's another target, another big name.
Yeah.
My second honorable mention is CeeDee Lamb, who's ranked 47th. He's a rookie and he is probably the third. It's the only situation where you can say this guy's a rookie and he's probably like going to get the fourth most amount of volume in the whole offense behind Zeke, Gallup, and Cooper, and you're like, I still want this guy because there's so many like targets have left, like Jason Witten and Randall Cobb, like total is like somewhere around like 150 targets that like is gone. So it's very possible for him to get like 80 of those targets. I think that's a lot. I mean, and in college he demonstrated that he didn't need a lot of targets to, you know, make a really long play or score a touchdown. Like I don't know if he can keep that up in the college level, but or in the NFL level, but he's one of those guys that can take a kind of a short pass and turn it into a 30-yard play.
It's very true.
Yeah.
My last honorable mention that I'm going to kind of throw out there. So it's another player that you're not a big fan of. You and Dylan actually hated him. Dylan actually forbid me from saying his name
on a couple shows. I know who it is.
So you actually bought a jersey for Dylan with his name on it for Christmas. Yeah. Talking about Will Fuller, who is still in Texans. He is very risky because he is injury prone. But when he is healthy, he can be very explosive. I think he is kind of like a wild dart throw. Like you might hit, you might not. You know, there's obviously a lot of players I would take before him, but I don't know what it is having him on my team. And like when he does blow up and have these good games, like it just feels so good because you didn't take him very high.
Yeah.
And he's fast. Like he's very good. And you know, DeAndre Hopkins isn't on this team anymore. So I feel like that frees up a lot of targets. Those targets have to go somewhere. And I know Brandon Cooks is on the team now, but when Brandon Cooks was on the Rams, he didn't – I don't know if it's just because of, like, he wasn't, like, cool with Goff or they just didn't have chemistry, but he didn't like do as well as what they planned. Like, I think the Rams thought Cooks was going to do a lot better, and it didn't work out that way. I'm not so sure it's going to work out right away with Houston. I think Will Fuller is going to take over and be the number one guy there now. So I know people are probably like shaking their heads while they're driving or, you know, whatever, listening to this, but I have a very, very strong feeling that he's gonna show up and he's gonna take over this wide receiver one position on this team. Like, somebody has to catch it. DeAndre was getting a lot of touches. Now I think it might be the Will Fuller show. So he's definitely somebody to, you know, if you're feeling a little risky and you wanna, you know, kind of gamble on it, I would say look at Will Fuller and hope that him and Deshaun like just blow up this year.
Yeah, so my last one is kind of another guy that goes boom or bust. Mine is Mecole Hardman, another guy that's on a very good offense that you kind of just want a piece of. He's on the Chiefs, and there is kind of a crowded range of receivers there. I mean, not only is there Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but there's also like Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, who are a lot of kind of just fast guys that just run. Streaks, but Mecole Hardman had a very good stat line last year, and like I said earlier, he did make it to the Pro Bowl as a returner. He had 7 touchdowns on 26 receptions.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's like, oh my God.
That's kind of, and with 538 yards as well. So he's obviously a guy that whenever he catches the ball, he's going for like 20 yards. And I don't think he's going to repeat that if he gets more volume, because that's a crazy number. But they want to use him more, and they want to use someone else as a returner. So they're going to use him more in the offense. And I think that's kind of a big up for him if Tyreek Hill gets injured or something. Or he might, you know, he might have one of those games where he goes for 25 points and then the other one where he goes for 5. But, you know, can't hurt, I guess. If, like, Hill gets injured or something.
I agree with you. So if Hill or Watkins gets injured, mm-hmm. or just any of the other wide receivers get injured, it already gives him a boost of, like, targets he's going to get. I think he had a couple games last year where he actually did, like, blow up and he was the guy. Like, I think a couple of those games when Hill was injured,
mm-hmm.
he kind of blew up on some of those games. So he has the potential to do it. And, you know, any of these – we always talk about it, but – any of these like championship or elite teams with like a lot of weapons on, if the starters get hurt and you have the backup already on your team, like, you're in a good spot. You don't have to waste a waiver pick, and you don't have to, you know, kind of have to force yourself to make a trade. And a lot of times too, these backup players that are on your bench that are good, you can sometimes trade them to the person that lost their starting player. So, like, let's say I'm the Tyreek Hill owner. Tyreek Hill gets injured and he's out for X amount of time. If you, Sonny, if you have Mecole Hardman on your team and he's kind of like the next man up, you could offer me a trade, and I would have to, like, you know, I'd probably have to trade with you or like get something. So I don't know. Like, he's one of these like bench players that you kind of put him on your bench and you kind of wait and see. And if somebody gets hurt, you kind of like win the lottery. Like, you win.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we covered everything.
I think that's it. Those are all of our honorable mentions. Okay, so yeah, that rounds up our top 30 wide receivers. Sonny, what should we do next? Should we do quarterbacks or tight ends?
I think we should do quarterbacks, just because I feel like there's more like interesting quarterbacks.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks even down to, like, you know. Oh, I guess they rank Cam Newton 19th, I just saw. So, like, right under Jared Goff and right above Joe Burrow.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that, I guess, as, like, maybe part of our honorable mentions or something like that. But, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things to get to with quarterbacks.
Yeah. So we have those two shows coming up for you guys. And then sometime, I think in probably early August. Sunny and I are going to do a how to play fantasy football, like basically an episode for beginners or people who are trying to get into fantasy football, kind of just like a general explanation of how it works. You know, just the different terms and jargon that we say on the show, just so you can kind of know. And maybe if you have like a friend or family member that wants to get into it, say, hey, listen to this episode. It's going to be, I think we're going to try and make it like about 50 minutes to an hour long. And just kind of give you a quick breakdown on how to play fantasy football if you don't already know. But
you know what we should do? Like maybe like a few weeks, we should do something like, I don't know, put on our Twitter or on our Instagram or something and be like, hey, if you're a beginner in fantasy football, like send us any questions that you have if you want to start or something, or like draft strategies.
That's a good one. All right, Sunny. Until next time, what's this all been?
Just a waste of my time.